What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention identify traumatic brain injury, TBI, as a serious health problem in the United States. A TBI can be caused by a bump or a jolt to the head or penetrating head injury that disrupts the function of the brain. Everyone is at risk for a TBI, especially children and older adults. Motor vehicle crashes were the leading TBI-related death for children and young adults aged 5 to 24. It's reported that every day, 138 people die from injuries that cause TBIs. The effect of a TBI impacts all aspects of life: cognitive, behavioral, physical, emotional, and it has lasting effects on families and communities. Alicia Joyner experienced a TBI and joins 411 Teen this hour to share her experiences. Alicia, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming, because the information you have to share is so valuable. So we really appreciate your time. Alicia, when did you sustain your TBI?
I hydroplaned on the interstate and hit trees 5 years ago.
Okay. How old were you then?
23.
Okay. And just what, when I say what happened, I mean, what were the conditions? Was it rainy? Was your vision clogged? What happened? How did that occur?
It was rainy and we were speeding. We were going to Charleston, South Carolina, so we were on Interstate 90.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the guy I was dating. He was driving. It was just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
It was his birthday that night. So the next day. So we were trying to hurry and get to Charleston.
Okay.
And it was raining. And we hydroplaned.
Okay. Did you have your seatbelt on? Did he have his seatbelt on?
Yes. We both had our seatbelts on.
And how did it result? Tell us what happened. Were drugs or alcohol involved?
No.
Okay.
We hit trees, and he moved the vehicle so that his side of the vehicle hit the trees worse. I don't know. He died instantly.
Okay.
Or I don't know if it was instantly, but he died, and I went into a coma that lasted 8 weeks.
Okay, so.
So when the police arrived, they thought we both were dead, and my phone rang, and they told my friend who answered to contact parentals because there were deaths that needed, I don't know, something needed to happen.
Okay.
My friend basically heard that I had died and the boyfriend had died.
And when did they recognize that you were alive? Were you aware? Were you cognizant of all of this going on? Did you hear this? Or did you find out about what happened later?
I don't remember any of this whatsoever.
Okay. So you don't remember any of this.
I just was told, like, that my friend called and mm-hmm. that's what my mom said when she called.
Okay.
Because she was told I was dead.
Okay. So what happened? I mean, how did they find out that you were indeed alive?
I guess they did, you know, the heartbeat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't breathe when you're in a coma. So my heart was beating very, very slowly, and they didn't think I was alive.
Okay. So you immediately went into a coma with the trauma.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty severe.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the various, you know, conditions, I know in looking at traumatic brain injury, they look at the severity. And when you're going into a coma immediately is one of the more severe states that occurs, you know, as opposed to a mild concussion. Can you remember or do you remember anything?
The only, like, anything, what do you mean, of...
While you were hospitalized, what treatments, what was done? Do you remember anything about the hospitalization?
No, I just get told what my mom's told me, that I was there in the hospital for 2.5 months almost.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to sleep on the floor because I was in ICU, trauma ICU, and then I got moved to ICU. And then she was like, basically, that's where I stayed. And one of the nurses brought a chair in. But I don't remember anything. I had 11 brain surgeries because
you've
she told me that. 11.
You had 11?
11. Well, I mean, not, okay. 10 brain surgeries and 11 surgeries, though.
Okay, make the distinction. Explain this to me and the listening audience.
Okay.
So you were in a coma for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
When you came out of the coma, is that when you had the brain surgeries?
No.
Okay, so you while you were in the coma,
yes,
you had brain surgeries.
Yes.
And were these 10 done over what period of time?
December 18th through February 9th.
So,
2010. So December 18th, 2009 to February 9th, 2010.
Okay. So those were done.
That's when I was in the hospital.
When you were in the hospital.
Yes.
Okay. When you came out of the coma, do you remember anything about that? Can you share that with us?
I was still in the hospital when I came out of the coma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't remember anything in the hospital except for... I just remember there was this girl, and I would talk to her, my mom said, and I would follow her with my eyes.
Okay.
Because when you're in a coma, your eyes are open, and you're not breathing, but you're looking. Because they had, you know, a ventilation hooked me so
mm-hmm.
I could breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, my mom would talk to me and try to get, like, you know, a response because she didn't want me to be brain dead.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't do anything, but I would always follow, I would always move my eyes around and talk to this girl whose name was Shay.
And who was Shay? I mean,
I have no idea. I just like, that's the only thing I remember in the hospital. And my mom was like, that must have been your guardian angel because
okay,
Shay and me went on trips. Like, I thought that was for real. Like, I really knew
okay.
a Shay, but it really wasn't.
Okay. So
there were
you
trips
were
in my mind
these
in
were
the coma.
Kind of hallucinations that you were experiencing. But Shay did not really exist.
No.
Okay. At what point, when you think about this hospitalization, did you become aware of your surroundings? Did you become aware that you were in the hospital, that your mother was there in the room, that you don't remember any of that?
No, not at all.
What do you remember? I mean, when did you get a memory? Or do you have a memory of that? Or is it everything that people have told you?
It pretty much erased like a lot of months. I don't remember anything. Like, I came home in February 2010. I don't start remembering until August 2010.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because something with having a brain injury is we don't have short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the inability to retain short-term memories. Because
mm-hmm.
that part is gone
mm-hmm.
forever. So I
so
could never
now.
Remember, like, I guess when long term, like when 2010, when things start becoming long term, I couldn't remember them. I don't know whatsoever. So I don't really have much memory of the time around the
around that.
Yeah, around the injury.
Do you have memory of being a younger person? Do you have those memories? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Up until what point? Just until the point of the traumatic brain injury. You remember everything up until then? Or have you lost all of that?
I have certain memories of the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Of like the couple, I don't know, of the year. Because my accident was in December, so of that year, mm-hmm. I remember some things, but not much. So,
what I'd like us to do is to get to when you started. You can remember started, I guess, therapies. I'm sure while you were in the hospital, once you came out of a coma, you were receiving. You had to receive various types of therapies.
No,
you didn't receive any therapy.
Because when I was in the hospital, they basically kicked me out when I was woke up out of the coma. It was within 4 days I left the hospital.
Okay.
Because they wanted payment. And currently, at the moment, I am $1,033,000 in debt. $1 million.
What did you say?
I'm in debt $1,033,000, which I never intend to pay. And so that's why the hospital, after I woke up out of the coma, basically told me I had to leave. Because brain surgeries are pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. And you've had 11, you
11.
Said.
Well, 10, because one of the surgeries was to take fat from my stomach to sew up my head. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So there was, I guess, you had, do you know what kind of injury you had? Did you have a penetrating, or did you have any bones shattered in the brain, or what?
I broke every bone in my face. Your brain is divided into sections,
mm-hmm.
and my front left lobe is completely gone because the impact, I hit my head very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
It caused me to have 2 aneurysms in my brain, and one erupted, or whatever you want to call that word.
Hold your thoughts for one moment. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, I welcome again Alicia Joyner. Alicia experienced a traumatic brain injury about 5 years ago, and she's sharing her experiences with us. The risk factors for traumatic brain injury include that men who are 3 times as likely to die as women. It's the leading cause of death, and it varies by age as to who will experience traumatic brain-related death. Your age will determine, let me make sure I get that clear, will determine what are the circumstances and what the rates will be. Falls, for example, were the leading cause of death for persons 65 or older. Motor vehicle crashes were the leading cause for children and young adults ages 5 to 24. And assaults were identified by the Centers for Disease and Prevention, Control and Prevention. I'm looking at you and talking at the same time. My apologies. Assaults were the leading cause for children ages 0 to 4. Alicia, before we went on break, you were talking about how you had to have fat removed from your leg.
My tummy.
Your tummy. Now tell me what this involved.
It's called exploratory surgery.
Okay.
Where they just go into your stomach because your stomach has the best muscle, like your abs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a skinny girl,
mm-hmm.
and my only fat was on my tummy.
Okay.
And they removed it and used it to Cork.
Mm-hmm.
In my brain, in my head, where they went in.
Where they went in to see what was happening. That was one of the operations.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other ones were like to go up into your brain and see how damaged it was. And because one of my aneurysms ruptured, they had to go in and insert a coil platinum stent.
Okay.
And it's in the left frontal lobe, so it's right above my left eyebrow.
Okay.
And the stent
controls the fluid? I mean,
it, like, because it's in, well, my stent is in the carotid artery of your brain, it basically holds it open.
Okay.
Because aneurysms are what happens in your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of skin or like a side of your artery.
Mm-hmm. It's like a bump, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, very simplistically stating it. So you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you just have one.
I have one.
Are you aware of it?
Am I aware of it? What do you mean?
Do you know that you have it? Is there any difference before and after? I mean, before you had this procedure and now that you can identify?
Because of the stent?
Mm-hmm.
The stent is what's holding me or keeping me alive because the aneurysm bursting, it shut down the artery.
Mm-hmm.
And the carotid artery is what
That's important.
What brings your from the heart into your brain. So it's the main one.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically is, it's 65% blocked.
Okay.
And the stent is what's holding it open.
And keeping it open.
Yes.
Now, do you have to go in for tune-up, so to speak?
Yes. Actually, just had one on Monday.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh.
Now, what can you share with us? What did that involve?
Oh, well, not tune-ups, but I have to get an angiogram.
Mm-hmm.
And during that, they, you know, go into your heart and put, they release a fluid along with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up into your brain and takes pictures. Because the fluid is, you know, blue dye. And so they put blue dye into your brain and take pictures and see how the stent is.
What do your pictures say?
That it's still 65% blocked. Mm-hmm. And that there's another aneurysm that's only 2 millimeters large. And that they're not going to do anything about it because it's so small.
Okay. So I guess they're just going to watch it.
Yes.
To make sure.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in addition to that, what other therapies? When you came out of the hospital, what were your limitations?
I couldn't do very little because...
When you say very little, I mean, what do you mean?
I went to PT, which is physical therapy, to help me walk or... It's weird because I know how to walk. It's just that I would fall because I have really, really bad balance now.
Okay.
And so I had to learn how to do that. And then I had to go to OT, which is occupational therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like a child learning again because my brain was so damaged and I didn't remember how to write. So she had to put a pen in my hand and trace my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it only took me a very short time. Like, she had to just do it, and I understood how to write again. But then, like, you have to learn how to type again, and I had to learn, like, numbers.
What about even activities of daily living? Because you said you had to learn how to walk. Were you able to dress yourself?
No. My mom did that. I had to learn how to do that again. I couldn't understand pants for the longest time. It was funny, my mom said.
What do you mean you couldn't understand pants?
I mean, because I thought you just put them on at the same time. But you have to put one leg first. And I never could understand that. And I used to try to jump into my pants at the same time. And my mom would always be like, you have to try it again. She's like, you don't do it that way. And I'm like, it's going to work. But it never worked, so now I know you put one leg in.
Okay. Well, you've made, I mean, a... phenomenal recovery.
Yes, great progress.
I mean, because if folks could see you and they, you know, that where are you now? What are you doing now? Because I think for those who have heard where you were, you know, I mean, you're independent.
That is something.
How long did it take you to get to that point where, I mean, you had severe traumatic brain injury, where you had to relearn everything. You had 11 operations, okay? And that was just 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You were in a coma for 2 years. Yeah. I mean, two months. And then how long did it take you to get back to a point where you were functioning independently?
I moved out of my mom's house a year later. And, I mean, it was that bad or so bad that she had to cut my food for me in the beginning because I couldn't understand fork and knife moving at the same time. So, I mean, like, I forgot so much stuff. Like, I was wearing a diaper at the age of 23 because I couldn't understand how to wipe myself.
So,
But that was right after the hospital.
That was right after. Okay. Yeah. And I would guess occupational therapy helped you and all of those, all those skills. And tell us about the therapy. I mean, what did it involve? How often did you receive it? Because you're now out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I went 3 times a week.
So you went to their facility or did someone come to you?
They came to me, and then I went to them after a couple of months. I was in therapy for 6 months, and
3 times a week.
3 times a week for 1 hour.
For 1 hour. And that was occupational therapy.
Yes. And then I went to speech therapy
for
an hour.
You were reading my mind.
I went to physical therapy for an hour. So the total was 3 hours, 3 times a week.
3 times a week. Yeah. And I guess initially all of them came to you and then you went to them, or how did that work?
Yeah, they all came to me.
And then how long were you in these therapies?
Like 6 months.
And after 6 months, you were?
I stopped. It's too expensive.
Oh.
I didn't have insurance. I had to pay cash. I went through a lot of my savings.
There was no assistance that you could qualify for, considering the severity and that you couldn't work.
I didn't qualify for Medicaid, which, you know, is just state of Florida or state assistance, until 9 months or a year later. And at that time, they paid for my angiogram.
Okay.
And the angiogram is $28,000.
So they do pay for that.
Yeah.
At this point, what therapies are you engaged in? Are you completely therapy free? Now, you said you just had a procedure. You just had that.
Monday.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you need to receive?
I'm not in any therapy. I used to have a psychologist.
But you're not in that? You're not seeing that? Okay. What are the doctors saying about this? What are your physicians that?
It's good. I mean, you have to be independent. You have to, like, progress. Because I've met several people with brain injuries, and they just get so dependent on their parents. Because your parents want to baby you, and, I don't know, my mom wanted me to get better and did everything for me. I mean, she cut my food. But eventually I understood how it worked.
And so you took it on yourself to do your own.
I mean, you take it on yourself to get better. I mean, I moved out after a year, so.
And when you moved out, were you working? Did you have a job? I mean, what was your plan?
I moved out and went to TCC and finished my AA.
Well, you're truly phenomenal. Okay? I mean, because what I hear you saying and from what I've read, to have a severe traumatic brain injury like you did, and to have gone through the therapies and the procedures and the operations, and now you're working every day and you're totally independent. And what kinds of problems, issues do you have at this today?
I still cannot retain short-term memories whatsoever.
When
it's terrible. I can't, like, my memory is so bad that I have to write stuff down because that's the only thing that works for me.
Okay.
And I have multiple notebooks that I write in, and then there's pieces of paper that I tape to my walls of my house, and I write on my bathroom mirror, and I have a dry erase board that I write on.
What types of things are you writing? What types of things?
Stuff that I have to do.
Okay.
Like, I have to, I don't know, buy peanut butter, or I have to find something that I lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, just like task.
Okay. Have you noticed any behavioral changes just within your own behavior? And what have your friends or family, what have they said? Have they noticed changes in maybe your personality or your style? Because often they identify behavioral changes as, you know, going along with it. It's a component of traumatic brain.
I'm very distant, antisocial, anti-people, unsocial. I don't know. It makes me very nervous and causes me to have anxiety attacks to be around people now.
Were you like that? That sounds like that's something that you weren't like before.
I was, but it wasn't at as extreme.
Okay.
So, like, I don't think I ever used to have anxiety attacks, but now I have anxiety attacks.
Okay. And that's a result of the injury.
Because I get so nervous that people can tell there's something wrong with me. Even though, like, having a brain injury is considered an invisible illness, nobody will ever know that there's something wrong with me. And there's nothing wrong with me. I only, you know, am missing part of my brain. But it's, I don't know, it just bothers me because I can't, like, a problem I have is I can't speak well. Like, when people ask you a question, I can't remember what the word is that I want to say. So I jump around the word and I wait for the other person to say the word. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So my vocabulary is completely gone. And I don't know. I feel like it makes me come off stupid. So I don't really like to talk.
But you have made enough progress to hold down a job.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
My job is very, very loving.
Where do you work?
They accommodate my needs greatly. I work at the Florida Alliance for Assistive Services and Technology. And our goal is to help the disabled Floridians.
Right.
So, I don't know.
And how long have you been there?
Since May.
So you're coming up on your anniversary.
Yes.
Okay. And you continue to live independently.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in looking at some of the other problems that are associated with traumatic brain injury, you mentioned memory problems. What about learning? Is it difficult at this point for you to learn anything?
Yes, schoolwork was very hard because I forget what I'm reading because I already forgot, like, the previous paragraph. I've kind of got the overall, kind of, but so I'm just I'm reading the second paragraph, and it seems brand new because I don't remember what I just read.
What you just read.
And so I finish the entire, like, you know, page, and then I try to remember the overall of it, and I don't. So I have to go back and skim it. But I can't really skim, so I go back and read the entire thing. So I have to go back and read, like, a couple of times so I can remember what it is that I'm
So you find that through repetition that that is one of the ways that you accommodate the cognitive deficits when it comes to learning.
Yes.
Do you have any problem with attention?
Yes.
Concentration, because I know that is also.
That's a huge problem.
With, really?
Yeah. I mean, all the TBI people I know,
they
are all on Adderall. And I was on Adderall, but I got off of it because it makes you jumpy.
Okay.
But a common characteristic of having a brain injury is the attention and the memory. Because we have a brain injury support group in Tallahassee. And the way it starts off is everybody goes around the table and says their name. Each time, because the likelihood of us remembering your name is very low.
So you say.
So it always starts off that way.
Every time.
Every time.
Okay. Well, but it works.
Yeah, because eventually you will learn people's names, and it took me quite a few times. But then after a while, I'm like, why are we still doing this? Because everybody knew everybody's name.
Okay, well, hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm talking with Alicia Joyner. She experienced a traumatic brain injury. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. Language and communication problems are common following traumatic brain injuries. Alicia Joyner experienced a traumatic brain injury 5 years ago. She was in a coma for 2 months and had to relearn just about everything. Alicia joins us, and again, we say thank you and appreciate you sharing this. Now, you said that you would go to group. What I'm trying to find out are, what did you find the most helpful in your road to recovery? I mean, you said you had physical therapy, you know, your mom was there. I mean, and it may not be wanted. What was, you know, helpful?
The most helpful was my mom, like having someone close to you saying, it's going to get better. It'll be okay. You just have to try it a different way or do it this way. And
so that support.
Yes.
That support. What about friends? Were your friends around? Did you have friends?
I pretty much lost every friend I have. Yeah. Try having that happen to you.
Really?
They all wouldn't associate with me after the brain injury. And if they did try to, I don't remember them trying.
Oh, okay.
So
you set out with a new set of friends, I guess.
I mean, I have very few that are left of the same group of people that I was friends with.
Well, you said your boyfriend at the time, as a result of this accident, died. How have you dealt with that? Have you been able to process that?
It took a very long time. Because I viewed it as my fault.
Oh, really? In what way?
It was my fault that we were speeding because I caused us to leave late.
Oh, okay. Okay. But you've moved beyond that at this point?
Not really.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's, I don't know, he moved to Tallahassee for
me. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that part of it. Now, you mentioned you went to group therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that and the traumatic brain injury group organization. Share that with us that you found very, very supportive.
Well, the Brain Injury Association of Florida helped me by telling me there were brain injury support groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one. And it's all these people that have brain injuries. Mm. And they're very nice. And, I don't know, each person wants to help you. Because they're all, like, you're all trying to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, so, what are you struggling with today? And I was taking classes, and they'd be like, well, maybe you should try reading it again. And I'm like, I've read it like 8 times. I don't know what I'm looking for. And they're like, did you write it down? I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you were able. I mean, that's the point that it's so great. And we applaud you because, I mean, you've gone from help back to being really very independent.
Yes.
Well, what was the prognosis for you? What did the doctors tell your mom, I guess, if they tell you to anticipate or to expect?
I have 10 years left to live, so I'm out at age of 33.
They're still saying you have 10 years to live?
Yeah. So I'm out in 5 years.
And what's this based on?
I am the very first person in the United States to have a stent placed in the carotid artery of the brain. Very first. It's not FDA approved, and my mom had to sign papers allowing the surgery to be done.
Okay.
Yes. And so the doctors that did my surgery were on the phone with Houston and UCLA and another hospital.
Mm-hmm. And where was all this done?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. So you stayed up there that whole time. You didn't, because
yes,
I know you're
that's
original.
Where the accident, like,
I didn't know if you were transferred back to, because where is home? Arizona?
Florida.
Yeah, but weren't you, didn't you tell me you were from Arizona before?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Okay. So I didn't know if you were transferred back there, because when you said your mom came, so those are little pieces.
No, we moved from New Mexico when I was a little girl.
Okay. All right.
No, my mom lives in Florida.
Okay. So all that was, well, that's phenomenal, and they did all of that? And you had no insurance.
And no insurance. That's why I'm in that much debt.
But are you really in that much debt? I mean, have they forgiven it?
They used to call and say that I need to set up a monthly payment plan.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And it was like $400 was the lowest they could let me go. And I'm like, my mom's like, she has no source of income. And I don't know. They pretty much have stopped calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they called for an entire year. Like, all the time.
Really?
But then they gave up.
Well, I guess they realized that that just was not going to happen.
That's just not going to happen.
No. Okay. Now, are you being followed? I mean, given that you were the first one to have this, I would think that they want to follow you and see how you progress.
They have contacted my mom.
They have?
Yes.
But what about you?
No.
So you have not followed up with them?
No.
Okay. When you go to have these operations or procedures done, where do you go?
Shands.
Okay. And they do it for free?
No. I have insurance now.
You now have insurance.
Yes.
So the insurance will cover that.
Yes.
Let me ask you about the physical in this last, well, few minutes that we may have. Some of the other characteristics are ringing in the ears. You know, you mentioned that you had problems with balance and dizziness. A bitter taste or a bad smell or difficulty smelling. Have you had that problem? So you're saying your face was broken?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I can't smell at all to save my life. I sample. I like try it out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't smell perfume. I can't smell flowers. I can't smell cookies cooking. And
so no food.
I can
you
smell
just eat.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Like, and they put it like right to my nose and it'll be strong and I can smell nothing. So I eat. Yeah, things don't really have
flavor. Do they have
flavor?
Okay.
Everything kind of tastes the exact same unless it's really, really sweet or really, really spicy.
Okay. So what are your preferences in eating?
Really, really,
really
sweet?
Spicy
or really, really,
really
sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Because that's what you can taste.
That's what I can taste.
Okay.
So all my food is that way.
What about eye-hand coordination?
It's terrible. It's terrible. Like, I go to reach for things, and I think it's right there, and it's not.
Okay.
Like, I played tennis with my friend. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've played tennis a couple of times since the injury, and I think it's coming, and I go to hit it, and it's not.
Oh.
Or I'm not even, like, close, and I'll hit below or above, and, like, the hand-eye coordination is really bad.
Your hand and eye coordination.
What else did you ask?
Pair.
The ringing in the ears?
Yes.
I have ringing in the ears, like, all the time. It just randomly happens. Like, it just happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What about medications? Are you on any medications? Did you have seizures? I guess that's first. Did you experience seizures? Because often seizures are associated with this. And if so, what medications? I'll let you talk. Uh-huh. Go for it.
I have seizures because, you know, that's what happens to all brain injury
mm-hmm.
people.
And what type of seizures do you have? I mean, what happens when you have your seizure?
I start shaking and there's a ringing in my ears
mm-hmm.
and I breathe really fast and like it feels like your heart's pounding and,
mm-hmm.
and then you get really, really dizzy and you fall.
Okay. Now, do you take medication for that?
Yes.
Okay. Is it effective?
Yes.
Okay.
It helps.
What other medications do you take?
I take seizure medicine, depression medicine, because I'm diagnosed as being clinically depressed, because having all your friends ditch you can make you really, really depressed.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on, I have a sleep medicine, because having a brain injury, your mind doesn't know how to stop. It never slows down because
mm-hmm.
the thoughts in my mind are always spinning
mm-hmm.
and I can't sleep. Basically, I go to bed every morning at 3:00 in the morning because my body can't take it anymore because I wake up at 8 and at 3:00 in the morning, I can't take it anymore and I fall asleep. But so I'm on sleep medicine,
okay.
which I think I've grown immune to because I still am going to sleep at 3:00 in the morning.
And then you get up at 8.
Yes.
Are you tired? Do you feel rested with that 5 hours of sleep?
I'm tired all the day, all the time. Like, I constantly am yawning, but my mind doesn't think that I'm sleepy. So I can't go to sleep. And I'm not allowed to take naps
mm-hmm.
because my, I don't know, sleep therapist.
Right. Okay.
Told me not to take naps. It would assist with the sleeping at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
In addition to not taking naps, what other limitations are you aware of, would you identify that you deal with on a daily basis? I mean, how has this brain injury impacted your life?
It's changed it dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very scared of driving.
Okay.
I don't.
But you do drive.
I drive. It took me 2 years to drive.
Okay.
And I drive now, but I won't drive in the rain. It freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really drive at night because all the lights just seem to blend together.
Mm-hmm.
So that scares me too.
What about your vision? Has your vision been impacted?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm blind in my left eye where the aneurysm is. Because
mm-hmm.
the aneurysm affect the
blood flow through your eye.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm blind in that one and it makes it so that driving is way harder. It's really, really hard. So, I don't know.
What extra curricular activities do you engage in? I mean, you said you were playing tennis. I guess you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have any limitations there.
I could I guess I could do whatever I want to do. I just have to get there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, your doctor hasn't said, now, Alicia, you cannot do X, Y, and Z. Have they given you any directives like that?
I just can't have an MRI. That's all I know.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure I could do anything. Yeah, there was no limitations given to me.
Okay. All right. What does your follow-up involve? When you go, how often do you have to see the doctor? What doctor do you see?
Neurologist, okay. Dr. Ortiz.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you have to see him?
I guess when I saw him twice in the year.
Oh, twice a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's the only one you have to follow up with?
Him and my neurosurgeon. Okay. Which I just saw Monday.
You saw Monday.
Which I only see once a year.
Okay.
And, I don't know, I go see my psychiatrist for my medicine. Because he gives me the sleep medicine and the depression medicine.
Okay.
So.
How often is that? They just maintain you
every couple of months.
Couple of months. Okay. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it? Okay. You don't require any therapies whatsoever?
I don't think so.
Okay. No other support services? Do you have a social worker that follows you at this point? Or a vocational counselor?
I did see a vocational rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
VR. They helped me get my job. That's how I got with FAST.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because they're with the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
I just told them my situation is that I have a brain injury and that I'm trying to find a job. Because I really was.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really, really took a long time.
But you did.
I had 16 interviews. FAST was my 16th interview. And I really, really suck at interviews, obviously.
Did you get feedback? Did you ask them about after the interview? You know, what was the problem? And maybe that might be beneficial in the future.
Because I didn't elaborate with my answers. I would just answer the question exactly as they gave it to me, and I wouldn't say anything extra. I wouldn't give them any lead of my personality or anything because I only answered their questions. And when they asked for a question to me, for me to just answer, I would only say like three words. So, yeah, that's why.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned prognosis. You said you had 10 years?
Yeah.
They're still saying that?
Because I am the very first person in the United States to have a stent in the carotid artery of the brain.
So does that mean you just have 10 years? I mean, how?
Well, that's why they gave me the diagnosis, because I am the very first one.
Okay, so they really don't know.
They don't want to give you, you'll be fine.
Okay.
We know exactly what we're doing because I was the very first one.
Okay. How do you feel about that? I mean, how does that impact? Does that impact your functioning, your everyday life, your attitude?
For a long time,
mm-hmm.
It impacted me very, very bad. And I tried to commit suicide twice.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to wait 10 years. I wanted it to be over with now. Because I didn't understand why God would still want me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was really, really, really sad.
Well, you.
But now I have 5 years left. And I don't really think of it much because one of my really good friends, she's like, I don't know, people with cancer get told they only have a short time to live. And then they end up living like years past that.
Exactly.
So.
So
it's not something you really think of anymore.
Okay, so you've come to a point where you can actually deal with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're out of time.
Awesome.
And Alicia, I would like to extend my sincere appreciation for you sharing your experience. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.